The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate it, however you're taking us in this morning. We're live from Bar Canada at the D, the Barrage, Barcanada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly was doing some stuff off the air. I always enjoy it when I take incoming and then the incoming subsides because people realize, oh, he's actually like even less strong about this than some other people are.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about Aaron Rodgers and how as a guy who's had two Achilles pop, how I, you know, and I won't belabor it again, but how I was saying, like, this guy has been selling everybody some bull, right, all year. And people are like, well, how does that hurt anybody? Well, it hurts people who are betting. Thanks for asking. And it hurts the Jets. Like, you can make an argument that it completely destroyed the Jets season because they didn't get a backup of any legit quality like a Joe Flacco. And so people thought, oh, wow, Gil really hates Aaron Rodgers. Have you seen Nick Wright go off on him for 15 minutes or Jimmy Kimmel just continue? And obviously, obviously he went after Jimmy Kimmel specifically, but I'm the light version of that. And Kimmel says it best, just because you can throw a football, the notion that you then toggle into your brain is superior to all of ours is just incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's something. It is something.
It's something. By the way, did you see his quote yesterday or the day before where he's like, someone asked him about the upcoming season. He's like, we just got to eliminate all the distractions. I'm like, are you like, the irony escapes you on this?
I saw a great tweet. I didn't catch the reporter, but headline was like, Aaron Rodgers, in a really confusing way, blames himself for the season, for the Jets season, without realizing he's blaming himself.
Oh, my God. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kevin Ryan. Penix's career would have been better served had they lost to Texas. Can't see him going till the late second round or beyond. All right, everybody ease up. People still get quarterback crazy in an NFL draft. He's still going to be in the first round. Still going to be in the first round. New York Mets 16. Yes, whale capper Drew all over the Steelers money line. If the wind is 30 to 50 miles per hour, run game is what I expect to dominate for Pitt. And then SC, go fast, Troy. Say Drew coming in hot.
Yeah, he really was. He started this guest spot with the, I think it's going to be a real light card for me this week.
He was saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was looking at it, first thought it was going to be real light. And I'm sitting over here, I'm like, well, this might be a real dull next 12 minutes. And then it was like, bam, 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 every game. Like, oh, I'm just firing on everything.
Well, he said he was surprised about himself coming up with that.
Right.
Yeah. T for Three has a great tweet here. Now, I don't know if Dan Orlovsky is an actual voter or not for all the awards in the NFL. But apparently, Orlovsky put out a screenshot of his MVP and Coach of the Year votes and then since deleted it, but not before T for Three took a snapshot of it. So I don't know that you fill it out this way. So I don't know if this is an actual award voter or if this is just for his own thing, but I'll just tell you how he had it. For Coach of the Year, would you like me to do it 3-2-1?
Sure. Yeah.
Third, Sean McVay. Second, D'Amico Ryans. First, Kevin Stefanski. And then for MVP, which is five. So, by the way, this does sound like it is an actual thing because it's three spots for Coach of the Year and it's five for MVP, which is the official way to do it. MVP, fifth, Brock Purdy. Fourth, Christian McCaffrey. Third, Dak Prescott. Second, Josh Allen. First, Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen at second. Wow. Anyway, he's got the two. He's got the two favorites.
I can't figure out if he's a voter or not.
I don't know if he is.
You know, this is like one of those. You could Google that kind of stuff, and things come up. Like you and I have like a million different discussions about the MVP. Not right. Exactly. Is he a voter? Yes or no?
Take that for what you will. He might be, though, because it's 1-5 for MVP and it's 1-3 for Coach of the Year. So that is the format, which brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to our special pre-playoff edition of Power Rankings.
Playoffs?
You're talking about playoffs. Did you ever get the Jim Moore and Allen Iverson things confused? playoffs and practice?
Oh,
it's kind of the same delivery.
Yeah, I do. But I also get called out for like when I get excited about it that I sound like that. So
you do a little.
Yeah, like Jim Mora. Yeah, playoffs.
You get excited. Playoffs. Whereas Allen Iverson is more. We talk about practice.
Right. Not a game. Not game, though. Practice.
Allen Iverson has since said that
all-time favorite.
He is very. He laments the fact now. He is super sad that with all of his accomplishments, has become his biggest thing. He says he's on the street and he's more likely to get somebody go, practice. We talk about practice than any other accolade.
Oh, my God. I'm such a big Iverson fan. He's on that short list of people.
Oh, he's great.
That, like, if we had a chance to talk to, I'd be legit a little nervous.
It also had something to do, if you remember at the time when he did that, so he had lost somebody close to him in his life. So it was like this really emotional moment. So the fact that people now, like ourselves just now, apologies, use it as sort of this great moment in sports media.
Right.
You know, he sort of laments that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
If we do have him, we won't bring that up. Let's put it that way. Maybe.
He's like, do you have a list like that? Like guys that like, I mean, I've been lucky enough to interview some really famous people. Me and I both have, right? Yep. There's still like a short list of like guys that I would love to hang out with and talk to that I'd be like slightly nervous to talk to. Allen Iverson would be on that list.
I had a Tracy Morgan interview once. I was at a radio station and I brought up that he was on page 6 the previous night. Yep. And he like immediately took it wrong. He's like, oh, you a tough guy. I was like, I'm just bringing it up from last night. So you regret certain things. You're like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I was trying to.
Breaking news, Tracy Morgan hates Gil Alexander.
It's so great. Power rankings special playoff edition. I didn't say 107.5 The Bone. I apologize. People are going to get upset. All right. So this is 1 through 14. Starts with the Niners for me, and the Ravens are number 2. If you had them in different order, that's fine. But I think those are your 1 or 2. I have the Cowboys 3, Kelly, because I believe with their home field advantage, they are undefeated at home. They're going to get one, if they advanced, a second guaranteed home game. If things broke their way, they could get a third, by the way.
So I had Bills 3, Cowboys 4. But I think this was an interesting exercise because we were texting about it where it's like you do have to think about things. Like
yes.
If we're power ranking these going into the playoffs, things like that matter.
So the Cowboys end up third for me because of that built-in home field. The Bills are 4th for me, by the way. Yeah, there we go. Bills are 4th for me. And then, here's where it gets... So I think 1-2 should be the same for everybody. I kind of think 3-4 should be, although there'll be some argument. But here's where it gets a little dicey. I end up with the Dolphins at 5, but I got to be honest with you. After listening to Drew just talk about the defense, I mean, he's right. And I've been saying it, too. You can only lose so many bodies before you're diminished. Jalen Phillips with the Achilles. Bradley Chubb with the ACL. Xavier Howard being among that. Van Noy walks off the field this last week. I
mean, Van Ginkle and Jerome Baker.
Van Ginkle, me.
Yeah, both those guys have been ruled out. They're ruled out for the playoffs.
Van Ginkle and who else?
And Jerome Baker.
Baker.
Both so, linebackers, I mean, ruled out.
That's half your defense. So you're playing a second-string defense. So while I love the Dolphins' ability to outscore, I still have them as 5. Maybe I'll regret that. The Browns are 6 because they have the best single unit. Their defense among the rest of the teams. I do have the Chiefs at 7, and that is based strictly on the power of Patrick Mahomes and the defense. Certainly not what surrounds him, but some priors there get the Chiefs to 7, and they do have a home game here to start things off against the Dolphins.
So did Browns and Chiefs both get a little bump in yours?
A little bump.
Yeah, I think me too.
A little bump from not playing. How about that?
Right.
Not so playing.
There's also players. That, though, too. Yeah. I mean, you had teams that were able to rest guys. You have to keep in mind, too.
Rams are 8. I do think Matt Stafford is live. The Lions come in with their highest rating in my entire season, 9. Lions are there by default. And when I say by default, it's I don't really love Dan Campbell's in-game decision making. I think he's a little too reckless. But there's no way they can be less than 9. The Eagles fall all the way to 10 for me. All the way to 10. They're no better than that. I don't think you can justify them being any better than that. By the way, I might be too high on the Eagles. Then I have the Texans 11, the Packers 12, the Steelers 13. I've got the Bucks at the bottom at 14. You, sir.
Yeah, the 1 through 4, I think you're right. It's whatever. If you want to mix it up in a different order, go ahead. I think those 4 teams belong there, though. 49ers, I went 49ers, Ravens, Bills, Cowboys. And then I think, yes, they might only be 2-point, you know, home dogs. But, yes, I think the Bucks and Steelers still belong at the bottom of this, 13 and 14. I thought 5 through 12, I changed I don't know how many different times. And I'm kind of with you. I don't even know if I like it exactly where I have it right now. But, I mean, I shot the Browns all the way up to 5 just because of the – okay, you're able to rest some guys. I do lean on their side a little bit running into Houston this week. So you like that. And like you said, I think it's after those top four teams, when I'm looking for something that's consistent that I can rely on, it is that Cleveland defense still. So Cleveland number 5 for me. Chiefs go up to 6. Little bit, same thing. Get a chance to rest some guys. You're going to be at home with this banged up Dolphins team coming in. So I put them 6, Dolphins 7. I think small difference there. And then Lions, Rams, I went 8-9. I give a slight edge to the Lions. So it was Lions 8 there, Rams 9.
Makes that game great.
Right, exactly. Like, I can't wait for that game. I'm not going to have a bet on a side there. I think it is going to be pretty close. I went Texans 10, Packers 11, Eagles 12.
Wow.
I mean, I'm with Drew. Like, this team is so... I mean,
they're so bad.
Dolphins, Eagles, they're decimated. The Eagles have been bad on top of the injuries. I think it's going to be a struggle this week. But I do have them still above the Bucks. So,
yeah.
12 Eagles, 13 Bucks, 14 Steelers.
And that's what I said yesterday, which is, as bad as the Eagles are, I'll just repeat it. I still have to think they can figure out a way to beat the Bucks.
Me too. I agree.
Maybe his famous last words, but I still have to feel that way. We got some playoff props. Most passing yards, most receiving yards, most rushing yards through the duration. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything that VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. On a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. We get texts, we get tweets. This is Michael Montesano, the Circa Booby Prize winner in the first year. He said Allen Iverson, because we were talking about AI, not artificial intelligence, but Allen Iverson, last thing. We said Allen Iverson was ahead of his time. He always played in games where now players sit for load management. Oh, don't get me started on load management. And I immediately said to Michael, or I texted back, I'm like, bro, look at Michael Jordan's season by season. You ready for this, Kelly?
That's incredible.
We'll do it every year. 82 total. That's as many as you can play regular season. 18. I don't know, for those who are of a certain age who may or may not remember this, but I know the youngsters don't. His second year, like game 5, he played the Washington Bullets, and Ricky Mahorn or Jeff Ruland or somebody like undercut him, and Jordan slammed to the, like, his career could have been over right then. So he only played 18 games that year. Then 82, 82, 81, 82, 82, 80, 78. Then he went and played baseball. When he came back, 82, 82, 82, didn't play 3 years, came back with the Wizards, 60 and 82.
That's incredible. That's incredible he played 82
games. That's the greatest player of all time, kids.
82 games for a Washington Wizards team at that point in his career.
When he was in his 40s.
That is wild.
We get tweets at beating the book. This is from
those teams were so bad too. It was like Jordan was still always one of the best players on the court.
Still was. This is from Earned Burn. Jim Gray just hinted that Harbaugh may be going back to the NFL on Fox News. I don't think that's really breaking news to me. I think he absolutely will go back. I know he's been coy about it, but Chargers, Raiders, who knows? Anybody should want Jim Harbaugh. He's been a winner everywhere. Michigan, San Francisco 49ers, Stanford, USD Toreros, everywhere. Bill Hooker, does whale capper Drew Dinsick live in Long Beach because it's beyond the parameters of the cloud of smoke? I think you have a different cloud of smoke in mind. Johnny Ringo, if you ever do run into Allen Iverson, he's super approachable, unlike his playing days. And happy new year to the ANG boys. Happy new year to you, Johnny Ringo.
Nevada. 3 days too late.
3 days. Oh, you don't accept
it. No, don't accept it.
He doesn't accept your happy new year wishes, Johnny Ringo.
I don't accept it. Happy winter, you could say, or spring.
Happy President's Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Nevada Azer. Pete Prisco was on the Better You Bet pod. He said he has, this is his awards votes, Lamar for MVP, Stefanski for Coach of the Year, Puka for Rookie of the Year offense, Kobe Turner for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and Miles Garrett for Defensive Player of the Year. How about that?
Okay. All right. One man's vote.
All right. Jeff Staples, Jim Mora says that whenever he goes outside every day of his life, someone screams playoffs.
I believe that one even more than Iverson's.
As soon as they recognize him, playoffs. How annoying would that be in his voice?
Especially for people like, if you're around my age, you know what I mean? He's a little on the older side for coaches that I know really well, but obviously I've seen that soundbite 1,000 times in my life.
That's so great, poor guy. Okay, these are always interesting because they require a little bit of art. Full playoffs, full postseason now, we're talking. This includes the Super Bowl.
Yep.
This includes the Super Bowl. So we're talking about most passing yards, most receiving yards, and most rushing yards. Now, the key to this is it should correlate to your overall handicap. So if you believe, for instance, that the Dallas Cowboys will get knocked out this week, like Drew said is a possibility, you're not going to want to bet Dallas players. The key here is to figure out which teams are going to play the most games, because that will obviously give you the upper hand in what is just a counting stats betting markets, receiving, rushing, and of course passing yards. So Dallas, if you feel like they're going to win this week against Green Bay, then they're going to advance in the divisional round no matter who they play, and play San Francisco in the championship game, that'd be three games for Dallas. Same way with San Francisco and Baltimore. If you think they're going to win their division round or their championship game and play a Super Bowl, you might sort of bend your bets towards players on those teams. You get the idea. And so with that as a backdrop, let us discuss passing yards first.
And it's part of the reason why you see a Dak Prescott at the top of this market.
That's right.
Because there is... not the assumption, but if a team playing this weekend, right, if they were going to get to the Super Bowl, would play one more game than, you know, the 49ers or Ravens.
That's exactly right. That's why Dak Prescott is plus 360, because the assumption is that he will play in three games. They'll get their big favorite this week. They'll be a favorite next week, and then the assumption, right, based on markets, would be that they would be a road dog in a championship game. Now, remember, things could break in a way where they end up with a home game in the championship game. Remember, there's reseeding and all this. If San Francisco were to get knocked out, there's always that possibility. So Dak is the short shot at plus 360. Josh Allen is at 5-1. He's the second short shot. Patrick Mahomes plus 550. You got to think that the Chiefs, if you're going to bet Patrick Mahomes here, you're going to also have the handicap that the Chiefs are going to advance well past this week, one would assume. And then Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy are both at 7-1. And Kelly, that's where I would go with my bet. While I understand why Dak is the short shot, I would actually bet Purdy here at 7-1. Because my assumption would be, all right, Purdy's going to get his yards and they're going to play three games.
Yeah.
So I'd bet the better number on Purdy here at 7-1. Are these available in town or just at DraftKings out of town? Because I would bet this.
I just pulled these from DraftKings.
Yeah.
They might be up at Caesars.
Okay.
Actually, a couple shops might have.
I'd bet Purdy at 7-1 there.
So that's interesting. So this is the one I gravitated to the most.
And Me too.
I think that Dak actually has value at that number at the top. But it completely depends on how you feel about what would a Cowboys 49ers setup look like. But, man, I'm pretty confident of Dallas getting there. You know, I think San Francisco will too. But if I already know I can get two games out of Dak and then it's up to a third and he could possibly surpass Purdy, I like that number. And then I like the other one I think that was worth bringing up, and I'm shocked he was this long. He's not even on our graphic. Is Matthew Stafford at 22-1.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, if you think that they roll into Detroit, win this week, and you're really high on this Rams team, that's a long number on a guy who you know is going to throw the ball a fair amount. He always does. You know, as long as Kyron Williams isn't completely taking over a game. I was just surprised that number was as long as it was.
Now, the knock on the Purdy play would be, well, we saw Purdy play the Ravens, and if you assume that's going to be his third game in the Super Bowl, why are we to think that's not going to happen again, where he throws four picks and it gets destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing for me with Dak, right? It's kind of the evolution of some of these other offenses, right? Like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, in years past, you would obviously think that these two names would be at the top. Okay, Josh Allen's losing, you know, Patrick Mahomes hasn't had receivers the whole season. Like, right. This is, I think it's going to be a lot of Isaiah Pacheco running the ball and not as much on Patrick Mahomes.
And I just don't think they're going to play enough games.
That too. Right. And, you know, Josh Allen kind of the same thing. I think they're a better team when they're focused more on him running and the running attack
and they
on
know
that,
that
team.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then Lamar, it's the same sort of thing, right? So it keeps going down. You're right. Brock Purdy would be the next guy I would even consider just from how many times he's going to throw the ball.
And again, it should all be correlated to your overall handicap, because if you think the Detroit Lions are going to go on a big playoff run, you should be betting Jared Goff probably as well. But I would bet Purdy here at 7-1, although I do understand why Dak at +360 is the short shot. I just see him meeting a bitter end in the championship game. That, to me, is a much more bettable market than the rushing or the receiving yards.
Yeah, we can go through these next. I don't know if there's a great bet in either of these. I think you got to look long shots.
Rushing is McCarthy is your short shot at +175. Is there another guy on there you would
Don't think so. So we have, and I'm going to mix up. Sorry, I'm screwing crew. I'm not trying to screw you up. Rushing and receiving, like, it's CeeDee Lamb +175 for most receiving, Christian McCaffrey +175 for most rushing. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yes and yes.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm not running to bet either one of those, though, because you're talking about needing these guys to play multiple games to get this home. So I wouldn't play either one of those. I think you could only look long shots in both of these markets.
If you thought the Dolphins can overcome their depleted defense, Tyreek at +650 would be juicy. Yep. If you think that.
Stephon Diggs, we saw him get worked back in a little bit more of that Buffalo offense last week.
If you think the Browns are going on a run, Amari Cooper at 13-1, might that be something of interest to you? Might that be something?
Sure, the clear number one, right, on that team right now. So, and Flacco's been throwing the ball over the place. So, yeah, that's the way I'd be approaching the rushing and receiving. I don't think you can. I think the short shots are deservedly the short shots. I don't think you could bet either one.
That is what I came up with as well, but I would bet the passing. I would take a flyer on Purdy at 7-1. That's a tough number to pass up. We'll come back. Pete Futak's thoughts on the national championship game from last night, and more importantly, what he might creatively bet to win it all next year in a whole new format. 12-team playoff format, conferences rejiggered, tougher schedules, who might creep into that 12-team format from a lesser conference, quote. That's coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. That's Vegas. The crown is yours. Another thing with those playoff props.
Playoffs.
Passing, receiving, and rushing, particularly the passing, is note the weather, right? So, like, your notion of betting on Josh Allen for passing yards ought to be bucked by the fact that there's going to be 30 to 50 mile per hour winds.
I'm so glad you brought that back up, because we must have gotten an updated forecast, because we're back up to 36.5 in the game. So we've swung back a little bit, a point.
Crosswinds, trade winds, what kind of winds?
Kelly, the meteorologist, will be here.
I don't want Lombardi violently disagreeing with
Kevin Roth on the show on Thursday. He'll be talking.
Okay, we got our Doppler out.
That's
okay,
right.
Kevin Roth. Yeah, Darren Hodge wants to, but because we're talking about Jim Moore and Allen Iverson, he says, favorite rant is when Rasheed Wallace was with the Pistons and in a postgame press conference. Oh, yeah, we love this one. He answered every question put to him with the phrase, both teams played hard. Both teams played hard. He's over the postgame presser. It's great. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a question for this next gentleman. He's the creator, the czar, the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. He's Pete Futak. How you doing, Pete?
I am doing just fine. Yeah, it's so funny you bring up the college football playoff is its own thing. These NFL playoffs are insane. And like you asked me last week why I was so confident in Michigan. it's because you can kind of see the difference between schedules, talent, and the college football is easy. These NFL playoffs, forget it. I mean, because like you just said, it's pick a team. Like it's going to be like 1 degree, as Scott Van Pelt put it. That's not enough degrees in Kansas City this week. Like, how do you pick these playoffs? Because it could be anything. And it probably isn't. If you're saying it's going to be Miami versus Rams in the Super Bowl, you're probably not wrong. Right. So like, this is insane.
I got two questions for you, Pete. One, when does Michigan play FSU? Is that next Monday? I wanted to ask you about that.
Do you know the money or something?
And then two, you say that college football is easier, but college football people get their games wrong all the time. This one worked out, and congratulations to everybody who had Michigan yesterday. What was your impression, before we move on to your thoughts on next year, what was your impression of that game? Because it really was, as we were talking about in the first segment, it was like, all right, Michigan just first quarter, 174 rushing yards. They were already up 2 touchdowns. It bordered on the comical at that point. And then for the next 2.5 quarters, it was Michigan essentially leaving the door open for Washington to take this game time and time again. Washington could not. And then finally at the end, after Michigan had gave them all those opportunities, Michigan was like, okay, we had your chances. We're going to crush you here at the end. Is that generally the way you viewed it last night?
A little bit. Yeah. And to the whole thing, like, well, people get wrong all the time. Well, yeah, it's sports. I mean, it's kind of, you don't get everything right. But in general, these things are kind of easier in college football because you can see, we joke about me being a Power Five snob because you can see the talent disparity. And Michigan did have more talent all the way across the board than Washington. You can see the schedule disparity. I know we're joking about Florida State, but Florida State didn't play anybody compared to what Alabama did and what Texas did and what these other teams did. So you can kind of piece it together somehow and get it closer to the pin in most sports. And in this, with Michigan, this is what they did all year. They basically said, you know, we know our defense is going to bend but not break. And what did they do? They said, Michael Penix Jr., you're not going to hit those deep shots on us. And so they just let them dink, 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 and they kept bending, and they gave up a couple field goals. They gave up the one touchdown, and that was pretty much it. But that's been Michigan every single game this year. That's why I love them so much. That's why this was sort of foreseeable, because they were that rock solid, consistent all year. And what happened with Washington, why this bogged down and why Michigan was so happy about it, was like, basically, they just, Washington just said, we're not, J.J. McCarthy, you throw against us. You hit these sort of, you hit those mid-range passes. And Michigan's like, no, we're not going to take any sort of a chance. We're going to keep playing the punting game. We'll play the field position game. We're winning, and we're going to rely on our defense. And then all of a sudden, it just, there was 7 minutes left, and everybody got desperate. And Washington made the big mistake, and there's your national championship. And the final score was far worse than the actual game was.
Yeah, Michigan deserves all the credit in the world for their year of not turning the ball over and their year of not getting penalized was just remarkable. The likes of which we are never...
Every game.
Yeah, we're never likely to see that again in terms of a full year's worth. And a lot of people did...
The one team that was that... was back in the day, was last BCS champion, Florida State. Like that team, would to pick them, they were that team. They were every single week ultra consistent. And that's just sort of way. So it does happen once in a while, but not often.
Yeah. And again, I will caveat, I don't want you to go on this, but there is a caveat. There's a lot of people who did have UW last night that were upset with the officiating and the holds that were not called on Michigan and the hold that was called in that key moment against UW. So that, sadly, for some, tainted the game a little last night. But as I said before, I think Washington,
as opposed to the tainted national championship, it's going to be vacated in about 10 minutes. But
okay.
Like Michigan fans care.
Let's talk about a few things. One, Pete Futak, GM, who is, in your observation of college football this year, who would be the number one quarterback taken by you?
You got to take the chance on Caleb Williams. And the problem with this, though, is Michael Penix Jr. is good. Jaden Daniels is good. Drake May is good. And as we've seen over the years, every year that there's these quarterback runs, we're like, oh, well, Trey Lance, you know, you give him time, look out. Mac Jones is right. I mean, quarterbacks don't always work out in the first round, but you got to take that shot. And it's funny, I'm going to go on here with a score in Chicago here in a few minutes after this. And it's the same question that's going to be on everyone's mind for the next couple months. What do you do with Justin Fields? What do you do with Caleb Williams? My answer is Montana and Young. This, you take the guy. There's nothing more important in sports than a NFL quarterback on his rookie contract. You see, you already have Justin Fields, who you know is good. Caleb Williams, if he really is this next great thing, you take him and you take your shot at this. But then there's Brock Purdy's probably going to win the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson was taken later in the draft. Jalen Hurts was, what, a second round. I mean, Josh Allen went a little further. So it's not always the sure thing at the top, but if you're the Bears, you got to take your shot at Caleb Williams with number one.
Yep, and I think Washington should draft whoever they don't, quite frankly.
Yeah, Drake May, go for it. Just run it up. You're, hey, we're good. Let's go.
Okay, and then to win it all next year, obviously we have the usual suspects as the short shots here, Pete, going into the next college football season. But as you know, and everyone knows, this is college football in a whole different way. Not just the 12-team format, but perhaps just as significantly, the scheduling, right? Because we have now complete conference mayhem. And so you try to put your head in the space of what team is likely to weasel their way in from, you know, not the strongest conference, not the Big Ten SEC conglomerate, but like from a Big 12. And then what three loss team might still get in there from the bigger conference? So it's a whole new alchemy now that you have to sort of navigate. What might be a bet there for you?
Yeah, you're right. It's a completely different shift. Because the college football playoff in the 4-team format, as we're looking at the odds for the future, was relatively easy because basically you had to say you got to go 12-1. You cannot have two losses. So any team that has to play both Alabama and Georgia are like, okay, forget it. Don't even waste your money or time on it because it's not going to happen. And now, like you just said, there's going to be basically now it's who's going to have two losses, because three losses, if you look at how it's worked over the last college football playoff era, the three loss teams probably would be out. The two loss teams are in. So again, you've got to start with who's probably going to get in. Okay, Georgia's going to get in, and they probably have the most talent back. So that's the odds on favorite. You know, Alabama's going to get in, you know, Ohio State's going to get in. So you just got to look at these schedules. But like you said, with conference mayhem, dear Lord, look at these schedules.
Yes.
I mean, next year, Washington and Michigan play each other. You know, Washington's schedule next year is a disastrous bear. And, it, you know, keep going down with all these expanded teams. So it's going to be really crazy. So it's a lot harder than it's been for college football prognosticators for the last several years.
Give me one team that's sort of non-conventional wisdom that you might take a flyer on.
It's kind of the cutesy thing to say Ole Miss at this point, because they get everyone back and they're just that talented. So again, who's getting in this thing? So who's getting in this 12-team thing? Because you got to get in the top 11 to be there. Ole Miss is that team with decent odds, but everyone's kind of jumped on already and liked them. Again, you got to get in it and then win it. So if you're looking at who's the championship winner, no, Texas, not going to happen. Michigan's going to have a bunch of problems next year. Oregon, no. So out of that list you got up there, if you want to take the real crazy flyer, Clemson, if they kind of figure it out a little bit with their receiving core and their secondary, they're going to have enough talent in the defense to at least make a little bit of a run. At least to start, who's going to be in that top four who gets the bye? So at least they advance to the next round.
Yeah, and all those things you say, you know, about the schedules being different, obviously NIL, which we didn't bring up here, transfer portals. That is why another reason why Harbaugh is likely to leave Michigan. It's why Nick Saban, if he retired, no one would be surprised by this now. It's a whole new shift in college football.
Hey, you might be getting old Harbaugh coming into your town there. You go Raiders, right?
Well, yes. Everyone should want Jim Harbaugh. Everyone should want him. Thank you, Pete.
Content gold for you, Gil Alexander. You'll take it later.
Appreciate it. Pete Futak, FIUTAK. More NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page today, among other things, and Bill 80's masterpiece. There is the graded season win totals for the year. We talked about a little on the show yesterday in terms of alternate season win totals. They go straight to the actual pre-flop season win totals in the newsletter and beyond. For more VSiN Pro picks, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. A numbers game will give you 10% off an annual subscription when you use promo code ANG. That's promo code ANG. What's the promo code?
ANG. A numbers game. Okay. It's really easy.
All right.
Remember that one. Just that.
And again, I'll have tennis picks a little later on at VSiN.com/picks if I have any. They're playing in Australia, playing in Adelaide.
Yeah, what are the match times roughly? Our time.
It's about 4 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Pacific when they start.
Okay.
Right, but it always like sneaks up on me during my day.
Yeah, East Coaster's a little tougher for.
Yeah. By the way, I mixed up a couple things there. We're the VSiN.com/picks page is where we have all our picks. Every guest, every host has their picks there. And then there's the VSiN newsletter, which is talking about the season win totals, which you should sign up for at VSiN.com/subscribe. Bad job by me messing those two things up. Apologies. We get tweets at Beating the
Just
Book.
Fine.
What's that?
I think you made it work just fine.
Oh, I hope so.
I wasn't going to point it out.
A guy in the cornfields points out from the previous tweet. He says the Prisco interview was actually on January 4th before Week 18, not necessarily his final vote.
Okay, that's important.
Thank you for that context on that. Bainbridge DeWeese, if you're talking classic interview sound bites, you got to include Mike Gundy's I'm a man, I'm 40.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
I mean, you can't. I can't. I don't watch enough college football, as most people know, that I can't go without seeing that guy, without thinking of that
still. Me too. Also, that's totally his real hair color. Belichick's We're On to Cincinnati. That's absolutely great. Yeah. We're On to Cincinnati.
Are these multiple tweets? It's amazing.
No, this is just one. This is one from Bainbridge DeWeese. And this one I don't remember. He said, and Marshawn Lynch answering every question with, I don't want to get fined.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Really?
That's the only one I don't recall. I don't want to get fined. I remember all the others.
I don't know which playoffs it was, but it was. Okay, did he get fined for something? He must have gotten fined for something earlier in the season or something. They were forcing him to do it was a Super Bowl. They were forcing him to do the media availability, which is, you know, a part of the Super Bowl.
Part of the Super Bowl.
And I believe I'm getting this right. And then that was his whole thing, is he just kept showing up to every interview. He's like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. And he kept saying, and it was like you were getting nothing from him. And he's like, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
That does sound somewhat familiar. I think my favorite of all of those, though, is still Iverson.
The only reason I'm not sure on my timeline there is because like the Seattle Seahawks were so good with him on there, right? It was absolutely. Like between the playoffs and that Super Bowl run.
And a would-be dynasty that should have had more championships.
Yes.
Clearly the Malcolm Butler pick is the shining, fulcrum of that, where it turned. By the way, that was one of those where when that happened, there's a couple things about that. One, which I think gets lost in history, is that there was so much shine on Belichick, even, obviously now, then, before, whenever. But I remember screaming at the TV, how is Belichick not calling timeout? And he ended up getting bailed out by it.
Yeah.
And the announcers were like, oh, it's genius that he didn't call timeout. I was like, give me a break. If that was anybody else but Belichick, we would have fried him.
We always say that about like basketball shots, right? Where the coach's got to be like, why are you taking that shot, Steph? I mean, good shot, right?
We had a guy in high school. It's like, Alex, great shot, Alex.
Great shot, Alex. I feel like that gets covered up in football so much. Like, we always see the replay of the coach running down the sideline and getting a timeout. Yeah. How many times though do we miss that? And the guys like they're hoping they get a timeout in, and like they don't, and then they get bailed out by some kind of play. We have no idea how often.
Well, when Josh Dobbs was winning those games with the Vikings, those two games he won, the one where I was like, Kirk Cousins could have never won this game. You could see Kevin O'Connell was like, "What is he? Oh my God, how did he do that?" He's like, "What just happened?"
Well, that was maybe the biggest thing about Josh Dobbs. Any success he had this year, it was like the complete unscripted Josh Dobbs. Yes. Like, just go make a play, backyard
one,
football.
One read. Right. And then if that option doesn't work, I'm tucking it under and I'm doing my thing.
So if you're Kevin O'Connell, you're probably sitting there being like, I want to call a timeout and make him do this, but he's doing better when he does his own thing. I don't know what to do.
You can see O'Connell just laughing like, okay,
right.
I guess that happens.
Just do your thing.
So Drew Dinsick was pretty fascinating on the show today, in case you missed it. And we'll throw out some clips later on social.
Yep.
But he was firing on all of these wild card games. He's going to be the division round. Next week, the division round Megapod is both Dinsick and Chernoff.
Whew. There's some firepower.
Ask me who's on tomorrow.
Who's on tomorrow?
I have no idea.
Glad you moved it up to Wednesday.
I have no idea. But He's firing on all six. He had a conflict, so he couldn't be on the Megapod this week, but he was firing on all six. The macro headline is he likes all the dogs except for the Dolphins.
Yeah, you want me to roll through everything?
Please.
Texans money line, Browns Texans under, Steelers plus 10, Packers plus 7.5, Rams Lions under 51.5, and the Buccaneers, I'm not sure if spread or money line. I gave him money line.
But it's one of
sharp
them.
Guy.
But it's one of those.
Yeah,
you give him money line. He's a sharp
I gave him
guy.
Money line. Yeah. I don't believe. Yeah,
and, the Rams. The reason that Kelly didn't read off a Rams bet is because he has priors, like futures plays on the Rams.
Yeah, he did say he had a round robin going too with a lot of these money lines tied in it. That he did say he had the Rams in there, but otherwise he has a bunch of futures with the Rams. He's just riding.
Okay, so fascinating that he. He loved the points with the Steelers so much that he's even sprinkling a money line play on the Steelers.
Yeah.
He pointed that out. So that's probably the headline of them. Yeah. Like, that's like, whoa, you're doing what? And again, with all the wins, you can see a path where that's true. Because if it just becomes the slog of a ground game and you can't throw the football, remember that Patriots-Bills game. You could not throw a forward pass. Then it does even the playing field.
I don't,
so to speak.
But, I mean, yes, it takes a dimension away from the Bills' offense, but they're also like besides maybe the Eagles, right? Like the number one team I wouldn't want to face when it's like, okay, the wind's blowing so high.
Bruh,
it's 11-on-11 with Josh Allen running the quarterback.
I didn't say I'm betting it, but I can understand why you might take that position. Taking the points with the Packers against the Cowboys is pretty interesting.
I feel like I've heard some pretty sharp guys that I respect on both sides of this game. Like pretty strongly too.
Jordan Love has made my preseason prognostication look very good. This would take it into the stratosphere where again, it's the whole clipboard thing.
Yeah.
You don't often get that these times.
I think this spot's going to be too much for this Packers team, but
I do too.
But like, I mean,
it's a fascinating take.
If the Cowboys fell apart in this game, who the hell would be surprised?
Well, this was the other thing we didn't talk about regarding the national championship game last night is, so I've seen all these straight, how your phone feeds you stories. Belichick being linked to the Falcons is like was the surprise from yesterday where they, so one report is like six different teams have in their sphere been linked. Six different people have mentioned the Falcons as linked to Bill Belichick. That was the one thing. And the other thing was Jerry Jones. Did you hear the Jerry Jones comment that about Mike McCarthy's future? And Jerry Jones was very neutral. He was very Switzerland about it. He was like, well, we'll see how this goes. I guess Switzerland's not the right thing, but he was very non-committal
to McCarthy.
So in other words, the implication being if this went wrong for Mike McCarthy here, either against the Packers or maybe even the next week, he would take a shot at probably a guy like Bill Belichick. Anyway, back to Drew.
I guess the way that I would read into that situation is actually more that he'd be more scared about losing Dan Quinn.
Oh, okay. Well, they made it sound like it was a Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if he's sitting back more like, hey, I would love to have Dan Quinn in this building. Dan Quinn's more important to have in this building than Mike McCarthy.
And we don't know that Dan Quinn's not one of these Norv Turner guys who's a great coordinator and not a good head coach, right?
I mean,
we don't know.
So far, that's what
so
he showed,
far, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Drew, he liked the Steelers plus the points even enough to take a money line. He took the Packers plus the points against the Cowboys. The two that I'm somewhat, and again, I don't say this with a lot of conviction, but again, I'll just say it about the Eagles because he's on the Bucs. I have to think the Eagles can win this game, right? They can't have fallen that far, right? He says with a question mark.
I mean, I'm
very unsure of himself.
I'm there with you, but I also feel like I've had a pretty good read of this Bucs team almost all season.
Oh, I have no idea what you get from them.
That's the reason more why I don't have a bet on it yet, but that's more of the reason why I lean to that Philly side.
And has the Miami defense, the other one is, has the Miami defense sunk so far? They're sunk because of all the injuries, not because of their fault. That a Patrick Mahomes, I still have no wide receivers can exploit this. Yes. I still have no wide receivers team can exploit this.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't know that I can quite get there with 3.5. Like, I still might want to take Miami. but it's fascinating because I could see it going either way. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.